Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is Practical Pointers for a Profitable School Year. The text is from Psalm 118, verses 5 through 9.
I want to share with you just a few practical things before I take us to a passage in the Scripture this morning. Things that will help us get along better, things that will make your integration into the school year a little easier. I've seen a number of the first buttons. It'd be great for you freshmen to wear those through the first few days of school, just because it gives some of us an opportunity to go out of our way to welcome you. We want to give you a special howdy and to let you know that we're really, really glad that you're here. And it'll help us to help you better. If you'd care to wear those, we'd appreciate it. By the way, don't be at all hesitant to ask questions. We understand that those of you who are just arriving don't know where places are, don't know who people are. Chapel here, 4 days a week, is a time of practical Bible application to our lives to help us daily where we live. Not intended to take the place of your Bible classes, not intended for the same purpose, but just an inspirational, stimulating time. I often compare it to a woodshed. Sometimes the farmers would take their kids out to the woodshed and take a hickory stick and teach them a thing or two. Well, it won't be quite that rough on you here, but it is a time where we come together and let the Word of God discipline us. Let it speak to us. Let it get into our souls. Let it bring conviction to our hearts. You know, if you will be anticipating when you come here to chapel that the Lord has something that He wants to tell you today, if you come with that prayerful expectation, you won't be disappointed, because the Bible will never disappoint you. Some of us who preach will disappoint you, but the Bible won't disappoint you. Come expecting to have something from the Lord that you need today. That's what this is all about. It's our refreshing time. It's our communal gathering time with the Lord. And I believe that if you're letting the Lord speak to you and you're responding to what He says, that a lot of problems that would otherwise become disciplinary problems, problems of the heart, will be solved here before they become problems of the life. We've seen that happen again and again. And how many people today have graduated from this place and are out all over the world doing whatever it is God has called them to do because the Lord met them here in chapel or in the Sunday service? You heard the announcement a while ago about the Sunday service, about being in here 5 minutes ahead of time. We'd like you to come with hearts that are ready to hear. You know, those of us who are seed sowers, that's what preachers are, we can do nothing more than scatter the seed. Whether it does any good or not has everything to do with the kind of soil into which it falls. The soil is your heart. If the heart is ready, if it's prepared, turned, moist, it will receive the Word of God and fruit will come. If it's hard, then the seed won't do any good. It'll just lie there on the surface of the life. Or because of the shallowness of the depth of the soil, it might bring up a little shoot that will wither. Mark 10 and other places in the Scripture that tell us in the Gospels about the parable of the sower and the seed give us this truth that I'm trying to give you now. So it makes a huge difference whether your heart is prepared. It makes all the difference. I would ask you to come a little early. Sit down on Sunday mornings, open your Scriptures, and let the Holy Spirit prepare you. Or just bow your head and talk to the Lord for a while. Get ready. Now, you probably aren't accustomed to this. You know, most families, maybe the alarm clock doesn't go off, sleep a little late, whatever on Sunday morning, grab a little bite of something to eat, take their coffee with them, chew on a banana on the way. Everybody's trying to get the last of their clothes together and their tie tied and and their jewelry on or whatever it is they're doing in the car, frantically trying to get there in time for Sunday school on Sunday morning, and they may be yelling and screaming at each other. It may not have been a very nice environment before they got there. And so they come to church with all this emotional baggage there. They just, you know, they're hardly prepared for what they're going to hear, and so it doesn't do them a lot of good. We want you to come prepared so it can do you some good. Come and ask the Lord what He has for you on that occasion. By the way, I want to get back to asking questions just a minute. Dr. Berg was telling us this morning that after he finished one of his orientation sessions yesterday, that a young lady came up to him and said, "Is this where such and such a class meets?" And he said, "What class is it?" And she told him, and he said, "Do you have a class schedule with you? I'm not sure where that meets." And she dug through her backpack and all and found it, and it was alumni 3 whatever. And he said, "No, this is not the right place. It's not at Stratton Hall. It's alumni 3 whatever." And she put it back in and started away and said, "Now, what was that room again?" And he told her, "Alumni 3 whatever." And he was able to direct her and help her. And I'm glad she asked questions. She was a freshman student, and we expect that if you're new here, you wouldn't know where things are. And there's nothing to be embarrassed about asking questions. Sometimes you might ask questions that could be amusing to those of us who've been here, but we'll try not to show it. Heard about a guy came into a store and said, "You got any kielbasa here?" And the guy said, "Kielbasa." Said, "You're Polish, aren't you?" Now, don't anybody get offended. All right, this is just in fun. "You're Polish, aren't you?" And he said, "Yeah, how do you know?" I said, "Well, I just knew." He said, No. He said, "It's because I asked for this ethnic food." He said, "That's how you knew. You knew I was Polish because I asked for this." He said, "Listen, man, what's wrong with you?" He said, "If I came in here and asked for matzo balls, would you just say, 'Oh, you're Jewish, aren't you?' Or, 'You got any spaghetti? Oh, you're Italian, aren't you?'" He said, "You wouldn't say that. He said, 'You just pick on us, we're Polish.'" He said, "This is terrible that you would do that. You ought to know better than that." He said, "Why did you come to this conclusion? That I was Polish because I asked for kielbasa?" Well, he said, "Because this is a hardware store." And, you might ask questions that those of us who have been here for a while take for granted. But nobody's going to humiliate you for asking questions, and I really hope that you do. I'd like to also say to you, starting this Sunday, be looking around for the church that you will affiliate with while you are a student here in BJU. It's expected of you, of course, that you find a church that you can participate in, not just go be a pew sitter perhaps, but go and give yourself to in some kind of ministry. Now, it's not possible. Some of the larger churches have all kinds of people there to serve. Maybe you'll want to find a smaller church that you can join and identify with that needs you. But find a place, perhaps, that's a lot like your home church. It has the same kind of personality and spirit to it, you know, where you can feel comfortable and at home. Many of the churches send their buses out here on Sunday nights. Many of the students have cars. I would say to you new students, don't be timid about asking a roommate with a car, "May I go to church with you tonight? Would you have room for me?" And I would like those of you that have cars and use them to go to church to make room for those who would like to go, if you possibly can. And visit 2 or 3 or whatever, and then make your choice about where you're going to put your roots down. Put your roots down somewhere. We expect you to be involved in that way while you're a student here. Let me say this. You heard an announcement a while ago about tryouts next week for many of the fine arts activities here. There are abundant opportunities here. This is called the opportunity place, and you have found it to be God's special place for you. Take advantage of the opportunities. Get as involved as you can, as much as your schedule will allow. It's part of your education, too. You may not think you're the greatest musician, or you may not think you have a real chance to do anything in drama or whatever, but you may surprise yourself and those who audition you. God's not looking just for those who burn brightly, but for the stars, too, that don't shine as brightly as the sun and the moon. He has need for everyone. And go be involved in the tryouts. No harm done. If you're not chosen, that's okay. Don't get discouraged or defeated. Try out every semester when the tryouts are held. By much importunity, much knocking on the door, you might get entered. So, this is what this place is all about. To give you opportunities for growth and development of the gifts that God has given you. By the way, let me say this for the comfort of everyone here. I trust it will be. You're not valued here because you have greater talents than somebody else. You may have come with huge talents in whatever area. It may be in science. It may be in the gift of teaching. Or it may be in accounting. It may be in whatever. You may have huge talents. That doesn't make you any more valuable than the average student. We don't think any more of you. We don't cater to you. Everybody's on equal footing here. We don't value the brains more than we value those with a lot of hard work and perseverance. In fact, when it gets time to live your life, the chances are those who have to work hard and struggle hard and make their brains sweat to get good grades, at least passing grades, and who can only make passing grades and they cannot make straight A's, maybe never get on the B average list, but just get the C average and graduate. The chances are you'll be just as greatly used of the Lord, if not more so, than the brains. Because you depend more on the Lord. You know your limitations. Your confidence is in Him and not in you. You know what we value here? We value surrender. Beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12. Surrender. Just put in God's hand your life and all connected with your life. And this is not a place where we appreciate intellectual strutting, talent strutting, athletic ability strutting. It's a place where we appreciate surrender to the will of God and humility before the God of heaven. And by the way, the chances are you're not nearly as smart as you think you are. You're not nearly as talented as you think you are. And there's huge room for growth and development. You know who is in most danger of failing here? The person who came here thinking you know it all already. Because you've got all these gifts. You're just so great. There's probably not anybody here who can teach you anything. Why in the world did you come? If you came here in humility and with a life given to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm just a beginner. I haven't begun to understand what you want me to know through your word of who you are. Lord, I'm a novice. I'm just getting my life in gear. Lord, I want to be a sponge and I want to just absorb everything I can absorb. Then you'll be a participant. Then God can bless you. God can't bless arrogance. God can't bless pride. He hates pride. It's a terrible sin. It's really the root sin. It's the sin that Lucifer had in heaven when he got kicked out. It's because he said, I want to be the God of this place. I want to be worshipped. He didn't want to bow his heart and his will and his surrender to the God of heaven. So come down off your high horse. You know, you might have been a real big standout at home, in your Christian school, or your public school. You might have been a whiz-bang somebody. People might have catered to you. You were an icon on the ball field or in fine arts or in the classroom in academics or whatever. You might have been the envy of everybody. Well, forget it. Forget it. You're probably not half as bigwig as you think you are. You're probably not half as talented as you think you are. If you don't get rid of that attitude, God can't really do much for you here or anywhere else that you might go. God, pity the know-it-all. God, pity the person who says, I've got it all together. Now, that doesn't describe a lot of you. There are a lot of you who are very, very scared, who are very, very insecure, and who really have great fears. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. Because then you'll become God-dependent. And that's really what I want to close with this morning. I was sharing this with the administrators this morning. In Psalm 118, the psalmist said in verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. It's translated here in our English version. It could also be translated in a tight place. The psalmist said, I called upon the Lord in a tight place. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. If you don't learn any lesson but this all year, it will be worth your whole year at BJU. It is better to trust the Lord than man. It is better to put trust in the Lord than in princes. And if the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. See, young people, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. We are nothing, but He is great and mighty. And until we understand that about ourselves, we will never prove the Lord and give Him a chance to show how great and mighty and able and powerful He is to us. He has to put us in a distressful place or in a narrow place where we're just squeezed in. Lord, I'm in such a narrow box here, I don't know how next month's bill will be paid. Lord, I'm in such a narrow place. What I've heard already in the classroom has scared me so much. I don't know how I can get this all done in a semester. Lord, you know my academic deficiencies are so great, I don't think I can even pass. You're in a narrow place. You feel squeezed in. And there's fear that comes with that. The psalmist understood that. But when I called upon the Lord, he said, in my narrow place, the Lord brought me out into a large place. Last spring, the university, through no fault of its own, through a lot of partisan political nonsense, was put in a very narrow place. And the media was clobbering us and you that were out there and heard all this stuff. Some of you said, I don't know if I want to go to that place or not. Man, you know, it sounds intolerant and it sounds bigoted and it sounds horrible. And yeah, the media just had a field day with this school. I mean, we were really getting squeezed. We were forced into a narrow place. We said, Lord, help us. We didn't ask for this. We're not like they're saying. But the world they're saying it to doesn't know us. Help us, Lord. And He did. He turned all of that. And He brought us out into a very large place when we called upon Him. How many times in this school's history we have found ourselves boxed in. I remember that for about 15 years, we wanted a nursing school here. And Dr. Smith, the provost, and the dean of the College of Arts and Science, Dr. Salter at that time, tried very hard to work it out with the local hospitals and to work it out with the State Board of Nursing. It didn't happen. We abandoned all those plans. We said, Lord, You must not want us to have one. And some years later, God brought this all about again. I don't have time to go into all of that. We weren't even planning to pursue it anymore. And the Lord brought it back. And it was the Lord's time, 15 years later, to bring us out into a broad place. And now Dr. Crispin, the head of the Division of Nursing here, is the chairman of the State Board of Nursing in South Carolina, the very group that said, we're never going to let you have a school of nursing. Isn't it wonderful what the Lord can do? How He brings you out into a large place. When in your distress or in your narrow place, you call upon Him. So I want to encourage you with those words today from Psalm 118. Some of you are scared. Some of you feel that you just can't make it. Of course you can. Call upon the Lord in your narrow place. When you feel you're just squeezed in, you don't have what it takes. And let the Lord in His time bring you out into a large place. You know what happens when you do that? You find out how real God is. How good and great God is. Some of you have never till now been put in a place where you have to prove the Lord. Somebody's always provided for you. Somebody's always taken care of you. Now you're kind of out on a limb. You're going to have to prove the Lord. It's the greatest position you can be in life. You're going to find out how wonderful your Lord is. When you call upon Him, when you go to the place of prayer, and say, Lord, if You don't part the Red Sea for me, I can't go forward. Let's stand and pray. Now, Lord, stretch the faith of these young people. They've never had to really call upon You because they were in a narrow place. Place of distress. Now they have to. Now You've pulled out from under them all the support. You've put them out of their comfort zone. And now, Lord, they're being asked to trust the arm of omnipotence. Lord, what better place could we put our trust in? So we ask You, when we call upon You in our distress, to show that You're able to help us and to meet our needs and to prove You're self-sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5 to Audio Services, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.